Rosa.
Hi, guys.
And Gabe Philbin.
Woo!
And Dylan Roush.
Football!
Guys,
sports.
I bought Madden.
Yes!
Why?
You are not the man I married.
Why did you buy Madden?
It was the deal of the day, and I was bored at work.
Because he's a company man.
That's the end of the story.
Do you like it?
Company man.
I have not put it in my PS4. I unwrapped it and put it on my coffee table.
Last
that
Madden.
Was a week ago.
Last time I bought Madden was 2009, and I enjoyed it, but I wasn't going to buy it every year.
I have the last copy of Madden I bought on my shelf over there, and it's Madden 07.
Yeah. I mean, I've never bought a copy of Madden, so I guess this is a...
Breaking new ground.
Yeah. Like, yes. My brother used to always buy all the sports games, so we would have Madden, but this is the first one I
really,
bought.
I didn't think Richard bought football. He bought all the FIFA games.
I mean, when we were kids, he bought every sports game.
Oh,
and as we got,
okay.
As we got older, he stopped caring about football so much. He would get it, like, every couple years. But, yeah, I mean, I always kind of enjoyed playing Madden, just casually, exhibition. So I was like, yeah, I could get into that. I could try that again.
I don't think I've ever bought a Madden game. Like, wow. I used to buy the NCAA games.
Yeah.
Which are basically running on the same engine, except college teams. And then I remember that NFL quarterback club game that came up on the sports podcast that we did, which was like it was a weird game. It had like a quarterback challenge in it and stuff.
I was a big fan of the 2K series. I bought NFL 2K.
Bought those.
When was the last 2K game? Because like 2K6
2K
was the first 4. One.
No, it was.
Wasn't 2K6 wasn't the first? That
no,
was like the break onto scene?
I think 2K6, they were long.
It was
really?
It was yeah. It was 2K4, I believe, was the year that EA bought it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the year that they, like, it came out and it was like super cheap?
It was always cheaper. It was never full price, and that's why it had the edge. And it was a better game.
Sorry, 2K5 or shit. I don't know which one is it.
Fact checking. Yeah, like, I never actually played any of the 2K. NFL 2K games. Yeah,
I was never a big fan of video football games in general. Yeah. Like,
it's just too real.
Yeah. I really liked the hockey games. Soccer games are pretty fun.
Blitz.
Blitz. But that's like a different.
Okay, yeah. 2K5 was the last year it came out.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't a 2K4, it was ESPN NFL football.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, this is listed as ESPN NFL 2K5.
2K5 was the last time I bought it, which obviously was the last time it was available.
With Terrell Owens on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, because Randy Moss was like the big one on every cover.
Yeah, well, not on ESPN 2K5.
Get good, Randy Moss.
So speaking of other things...
I think he was retired, Gabe.
Ryan, what have you been playing?
Oh, boy.
You've been getting dangerous?
I have been getting dangerous, but I feel like I fired up Mario Maker. I played some more Metal Gear Solid. I played like a couple more missions of that. I played Destiny. I played a little bit of that.
Not with us.
Yeah, I can't play. I'm not high enough level to play with you guys.
Are you on PS4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I mean, Devin wasn't high enough level, but he was still in the party.
He's high enough level now.
He was partying with us.
Well, I was in that chat party that night.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah.
it was loud in that chat party that night.
Yeah, it was. I played that. Yeah, I have it on both systems, but yeah, since y'all were all playing it on PS4... I just hopped on there, and if I get the Taken King, I'll probably get it on PS4, because I think the only person playing it on Xbox is Dub. And he's
fucking
just,
Dub has been playing that game since it launched, and after Taken King comes out, he Rich tweeted, King. I played Destiny last night, and I kind of feel like playing something else. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
You've been playing, well, it something just changed. I don't get it.
He played in the Dark Ages, and now that the Light Ages are here, he's... Oh.
Yeah.
Fucking dope.
He's afraid of change. So I played that a little bit. and I leveled up just a little bit, so that was cool, without having to get any new equipment, so neat. Then I played a little more Metal Gear Solid 5, like I said.
And at the rate you're going through that game, it's gonna be like the next generation.
Keep, like, rotating between games. Like, I'm actually playing stuff, which feels kind of nice.
The non-existent Metal Gear Solid 6 will come out by that time.
Right. Well, no, he
how,
made.
How it. Are you liking Metal Gear 5?
It's fun. Like, I think I kind of like, I finally kind of forced my brain to stop trying to be stealthy and just take it as it comes. Like,
fuck it.
Yeah. And like the last couple missions I did were a lot more fun.
Are you just arm yourself with lethal weapons?
Yeah. Well,
and,
I mean,
silence them, but kill everyone. Well,
it's more that I'll go in and try to be stealthy, and I'll do that, but I try to worry less about getting caught.
Yeah.
And so when it happens, I'm like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. See, that's really important for newcomers. Like, Rachel with Metal Gear, like, the second a bling went off, yeah, like, she basically took it as a game over and wanted to just put the controller down, right? And it's like, yeah, no. It's not over. Like,
yeah.
It's
a
okay.
There's a lot of fun ways out of this.
Scorched right. earth.
Exactly. Just kill them all. Punish them for catching you.
You're going to make your horn so big, though.
And I, good. Like, I did a...
There should be a move where you...
Like, I did one mission where, like, in the first half of it, I kind of scanned everybody, and I was like, okay, is anyone here worth bringing back? And then I was like, not really. There's one guy who was, like, a C in something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I guess if I can get him, cool. Or I was going to try and get everybody, but I was like, if I get caught, this is my game plan. Like, who am I gonna try and not kill? I didn't really see anyone that I was going to not kill. So once I got caught, I just kind of mowed everyone down. And then from there, I had to go to a second location. At the second location, I actually got in and out without really... Like, I alerted a couple guys, but immediately... Like, I got myself in position to where I knew that as soon as they... I kind of intentionally let them see me. But I was in a position where I was right next to them when they'd see me, so I could just pop them in the head with a dart real easy.
You can even, if you're close enough, you can just full-on sprint at a guy, and he'll turn around and go, huh? Yeah. But you can knock him the fuck out before he does anything.
Right.
$6 million man, punch that guy.
Yeah. But then I did that, I they were like the only two guys who were really in my way, and everyone else was kind of like guarding this spot but facing the other direction. And I walked in, and it was one of those situations where, like you said, like, everything's so open sometimes, you don't see everyone. And so, like, I walked in, a guy caught me. Or he didn't catch me. The little cone went off. So I backed up and just used my little fist to, like, knock until he till he walked over to where I was.
Yeah.
And then just did the same thing, took him out, and then nice. it was in and out real quick. So, yeah, it's, like I said, it was just getting over that idea of trying to make it perfect somehow. It's fun.
I'm glad you're enjoying a Metal Gear game. I'm glad you're playing a Metal Gear game.
Right.
It's a long time coming.
Yeah. And then I Morally Dangerous. I'm finally checking out their Power Play. I don't know. I guess it was part of an expansion that came out a while back. And it's been something that's there, but I haven't really paid attention to it. And so it's like a way to join, like, different... There's, like, several different powers throughout the galaxy, and they all have their part of space carved out. And this is a way to kind of, like, influence that and be part of the dynamic system that is happening in Elite Dangerous. So I found, like, there's a planet that we've all been hanging out at, and I was, like, trying to figure out how to make it part of the powers that me and a couple other people had joined. And it seems really, like, I think I know what I have to do, but I'm still not sure. So it's like, apparently whenever a planet is controlled by one power, it has influence off everything in a certain radius. And then no one else can take over any of the planets inside that radius unless they somehow do something to the controlling planet. And so there's, like, systems built in to go in and do that, but all I've done is theoretically figured out, like, I think I have to go disrupt that system, cause some kind of rebellion, have them overthrow the government, and then run in my influence. Which sounds like a daunting task for one guy. So I don't know how well that's going to work, but I don't know. I started playing it again because they've got their big expansion coming out later this year. That's going to have like planetary.
Is that game even
landings.
Like out yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's out.
I didn't know if it was still in like beta or whatever.
No, it's out. Like they've got their big expansion coming out, like a paid expansion coming out later this year called Elite Dangerous Horizons, or it might just be Elite Horizons. But it's going to introduce like planetary landings and like the ability to get out of your ship and go down and land and like look around at different planets and stuff. And I think either before then or maybe with that is their CQC, which is the that's the one.
it's like Metal Gear,
right?
Let's just talk about Metal Gear. Your ship just has arms and slams the other ship into the ground.
Well, it's like a multiplayer dogfighting mode that came out first for Xbox.
Snake.
Yeah.
Punish dangerous.
So I got into that this weekend and just ended up playing for hours, just goofing around with stuff, because I just enjoy that game. It's just fun to chill. It can be pretty relaxing, like between doing things, like just kind of back and forth between bases. I don't know. It's my jam. I like it.
Well, I only played one game over the weekend, too.
Was it Metal Gear Solid 5?
No.
Was it WWE?
If only.
Was it Madden?
You're dancing around the answer, Ryan. You know the answer. You know it in your heart of hearts.
I actually don't know the answer.
Jesus Christ, it's Destiny.
Oh.
Taken King came out, and it's a lot of fun. Destiny actually has good missions.
the cake.
Destiny the Taken Cake. Would have been a more apt name.
Mm-hmm. Game of the year?
Oh, yeah. Clear cut. Clear cut winner. Played the hell out of that over the whole week, really.
Yeah.
So, I think the weirdest thing about Taken King, the realization of they didn't really change the leveling system so much as, it's like, so before the level cap was essentially 20, and then beyond that was your gear. And now the level cap is 40, and then you have another number for your gear.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all superficial.
It's just that new number is a lot more satisfying to change. Because there's a lot more ways and options to change it. Hmm. With, like, infusing gear. So, like, if you get a piece of gear that's better, if you get, like, a blue piece of gear that's better than your purple, you can make that purple, you can consume the blue gear and make the purple gear better. Because the purple is, like, legendary, where the blue is just rare. Has more, like, stats to it. And just how you get all the materials is a lot more,
You get a lot more.
Yeah, just by playing.
Yeah.
Doing bounties and patrols, like you get materials to...
What's great is getting useless items and gear, they're not useless. You break it down, and the stuff you get from it is essential.
Things you don't use anymore are actually still worthwhile.
So you go on a strike and get all these engrams that you don't need. You just break it down, and you just got a ton of stuff to fuse your items or sell it or upgrade your faction you're with. You can trade in all those materials. Everything's worthwhile. Everything you're doing is giving you at least something that's helping you. Yeah.
So they just made it feel, the minute-to-minute experience of Destiny feels so much better. I'm like... kind of at the point now where it's I don't have like many like mainline quests left to do, if any, so it's just kind of go on, get the bounties for the day, the experience for
this is what I so like when everybody before Taken King came out and everybody's so hyped about it and I'm coming back to Destiny and this looks amazing, this looks great, I'm like, yeah, it does all look great, but for me, I cannot speak for myself, like I still see the end of the tunnel. I still see the where the game ends, or where I've played it, I've consumed all the content, and then I'm back to the grind of do everything ad nauseum to get better gear. But to what end? Like, okay, now I have better gear. To do what with? to do the same, to play the same content more, to get better gear. And so it just, eventually it wears thin for me, and I'm like, all right, I'm done with this. And I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying that, like, I can already tell you the Taken King does not have a long shelf life for me. Like, I'm probably going to play it just to hang out with you guys and do the raid. Like, I'm excited about the raid. That's going to be a lot of fun. But 2 months down the road, I'm probably done, you know?
So. Yeah, but then the next one will come.
Maybe.
That's how they get you.
I think where it's at now, like, if I'm playing with people, I'm totally fine with, you know, just getting on, doing some stupid patrol missions, getting those bounties for the day, doing, like, the Crucible for a bit. And it's not so much getting the better gear, because, like, where I'm at now is pretty comfortable. I'm at, like, light level, like, 293. I think the highest is 310. And that's if everything you have is 310, which is, I think, impossible at this point, or near impossible. But just, like, knowing that you're at least getting progress towards something, even if that something actually leads nowhere, which is kind of, like, a weird... It is Diablo of you get better gear so you can have an easier time on harder difficulties.
Yeah.
And Destiny doesn't have too many options with that still. Something I think they really need to do is just have, like, a skull toggle for missions. Like Halo, like how Halo did in, like, chapters. You can, like, turn skulls on to make it harder, and then if you turn these skulls on, then you have, like, a better chance at getting, like, one of these types of weapons or something like that. And I think, like, that could add to that longevity and make all those missions more replayable instead of just waiting for them to be the heroic story mission of the day or the weekly nightfall.
I do like that the Heroic Strike is a playlist that you can play indefinitely. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so it definitely fixed
the game some things. So much better.
This yeah.
Like it brought all these people back who were done with it and, like, had a really bad taste in their mouth from the original version. Like, it brought all those people back, and they're all, like, across the board, I'm seeing everybody's having a good time. And then the people that have been there forever, like, I was about to say it's paying off, but no, it made everything they've done irrelevant. But but they should be pretty happy with all the changes. And then also newcomers. Devin's in here, and he's having
Devin's a good time. Played this game more than I've ever seen him play a video game.
And it's very funny because he's invested all of this time. Like,
it was really funny when he was like, "So I bought it."
He was like, "What time?"
Like,
what
like,
time
just... You've been hating on it. What?
Yeah.
I was gonna say he said, like, somebody asked Devin how long, like, when did he start playing today? He was like, I don't know, like 10:30 in the morning, and then he looked at the clock and it's 11:30 at night, and he just goes, oh God.
Yep.
And yeah, that's Destiny.
I mean, he's playing so much of it, and of his own free will. Like, even he's playing it even when he's not in a party with us. He's just he obviously is having a good enough time to come back and play it, right?
I would hope so.
Yeah. You'd assume so. But it's just funny, I haven't really heard much positive come out of his mouth. It's just his actions. So it's like, Squidward, you like Destiny, don't you? Yeah,
I think it's, there's still some things that need fixing. Like, you know, why can't we do the old raids on a harder difficulty now? Like, they're worthless at this point. There's no point in doing the old raids.
Yeah, we were doing
we did
Vault of Glass with Devin, it just came down to we're doing it to show him because no one's getting anything of value, not even Devin. Like, everything that the old raids give you is garbage.
You can get like maybe like 6 pieces of like Ascendant Energy and then turn those into 3 motes of light, or you can get those 3 motes of light by doing like 2 patrol missions. So
they need to
make that worthwhile, because that's still like, I haven't done the new raid yet, but Vault of Glass is still, like, the best part of that game. And making it obsolete at this point is not great.
It's not cool that doing an old-ass strike gives you just as much of a reward, if not more, than doing the old raids.
And there is something wrong with this fucking strike playlist.
Yes. Because
we just do the same, like, 3.
There's so many strikes to choose from.
And we just get 3.
Yeah.
Back to back to back.
Yeah. It's not supposed to be easy.
No.
Alright, so is that all you've been doing?
Pretty much just more work on the Metal Gear video, which will be a lot more this week because I'm not going to be in a full-time job come tomorrow when this podcast comes out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. That's lots of time.
Metal Gear video.
Yeah. Full-time Metal Gear.
I look forward to that.
Woo! It's going to take so long. It's terrifying. it's terrifying. Yeah. It's so scary. The police are coming.
That's really cool.
Oh, man. I'm glad they're here.
The cops are here.
Did you do anything else, Javi? You play a lot of Destiny.
Yeah, I played some Destiny. Had a touch of... I think I skipped last week's show, so I did play more Disney Infinity. And
since you've been on this podcast, you beat Metal Gear.
Yeah. Beat Metal Gear. I was, the end of Metal Gear, I'll just say it,
it didn't do it for you like it did it for me.
Like, initially, it's... I've gone across the entire spectrum with this fucking game. Like, I think initially I'm sitting there going, fuck you! Fuck off! Like, god damn it, seriously? Oh, fucking god damn it! Like, that was probably my reaction while experiencing the ending. Yeah, and then that carryover, and me and Gabe have talked about it since. Gabe's a big fan of it. And his perspective is very interesting. I actually really like what he got out of it. Like, I think that's a cool idea. I can see where you're getting that, but I also am not a fan of how they presented your theory, I guess. Like, it didn't translate to that for me when I was doing it. So, like, it was just frustrating. And, yeah. Anyways, I don't know, MGS5, I'm not as, bitter as I was initially. I've come to terms with it.
There are many who haven't.
Yeah. But, anyways, it's a very good video game. The video game's good. I think that, as a Metal Gear fan, I felt like everything other than the gameplay left something to be desired. I was left kind of feeling disappointed. And, this sucks that this is it.
Like, there's a phantom pain?
Yes. And if that's, your argument, that's why it's good, I'm gonna throw up.
That's the thing. It's not finished, and it kind of sucks, and it makes you want more. And that's why the game's called Not Finished, and It Sucks.
No, fuck off. But that's probably what your video's gonna be about.
No. There's a part that mentions that.
But yeah.
I never say that's what makes it good.
Yeah. I mean, you could say that's what makes it interesting. And sure, I guess I could agree with that.
I've discovered I use interesting as, the biggest placeholder word whenever I talk. For, I don't know how to explain this yet. It's interesting.
I mean, interesting is a good word because it doesn't necessarily mean good or bad. It just means that it's something to think about.
That is very much the Metal Gear franchise.
Yeah. I think,
tune into episode 303 when we can get Ryan's impressions on the ending of Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, mm-hmm. two years from now.
Yeah. I'll get there.
We could just implant the ending via nanomachines into it.
Parasites or something. Parasites, yeah. They'll take care of it.
I mean, we're speaking English right now.
Yeah, so. You know what I mean.
I mean, that's probably a spoiler for Ryan. He won't know. Yeah, anyways, MGSV, listen to the tapes after you beat the game. Those are probably the best parts of the storytelling, if you ask me. Disney Infinity 3.0, as of right now, and I haven't played that much of it, but what I have played, I can tell you it's... how do I say this? Everything that it's doing, every gameplay style that it's experimenting with, every mechanic that it's trying to replicate feels like baby's first baby's first Devil May Cry, baby's first 3D platformer, baby's first racing game. Like, it's very, and baby's first Star Fox. Like, there's
the Millennium Falcon stuff I saw you play kind of looked a little Star Fox reminiscent.
Yeah, so like, it's very Star Fox reminiscent. There's there's the all range mode levels where it's a big open area and you can go up and down and do fucking like do 180s to turn around, and you have to like, Ryan, what's the term when you're trying to get your enemy in your sights and you're trying
barrel
to,
roll?
No, it's like tracking or trailing, whatever.
Leading.
I don't know. Trying to get a good angle on the ship that's in front of you.
Right? Tracking. So, I mean, yeah, I guess tracking. That's.
I don't know. I've heard you say it before, and I was like, oh, that's a good term. But yeah. Anyways, yeah, it has that. It has some Rogue Squadron stuff going on where you're like, all right, I got to hit my brake so that I can turn sharp enough to get this, the angle that this person's moving, you know, right, to get me behind them, you know, and then speed up. And it has some cool, kind of very simplistic Star Fox Rogue Squadron stuff going on. And then there's the on rail sections that are very Star Fox where you're just going down a line and you can kind of move around the screen while it's propelling you forward. And, you know, that's very Star Fox. And it's beautiful. It looks really nice. But it is very, very basic. But in some instances, that's good. I think that the Star Wars stuff, where it's all combat and plays like Devil May Cry, because it's designed by the Ninja Theory team, that it's great. It's very, very competent and a lot of fun to play. I wish it was a little bit more, had a little bit more depth, but it's pretty good. But with the Inside Out playset, where it's trying to be a 3D platformer, that's a little too, like, basic. Like, the thing is, it's deceptively pretty. Like, if you take a screenshot of the game at any point, you're like, wow, that looks awesome. It's bright, big, bright colors. Look at all these platforms and collectibles. Like, it looks like the game I always wanted. But then you play it, and you're like, something's missing. Like, the music's fucking generic as hell. The sound effects don't delight, you know? And, like, the controls are a little bit off, a little clunky. Like, nothing feels good. It's just missing that. And so that definitely feels like the game's just not built for this. Or that, you know, they didn't, I don't know. Something's missing in that playset. But otherwise, Disney Infinity 3.0, for the most part, like, succeeds in almost all that it's doing. It's just this very simple version of it. And I'm very, very excited to finish up each of these playsets that I have and then dive into the level creator, because I think that's going to be way more robust and a lot more interesting than it was in 2.0, especially with all that extra Star Wars stuff to unlock. So, I don't know. I want to play more Disney Infinity. I just don't have the time.
Other things.
Don't have the time. And I probably won't until like Christmas, honestly. Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Dylan.
Oh my God. There's too much to talk about. Not much to talk about. I played old The Taken King. Enough to be caught up with everyone. I feel like I'll play it for a bit, and then I'll go to play something else instead and can just come back sporadically when people are on it. Same as last year. So no difference there. Metal Gear. I've been doing nothing but side ops. So
there's a lot of those.
Yeah, I think I'm about halfway through all the side ops. So I think I'm towards the end. It feels like it's towards the end, but I'm betting it's not.
I mean, if you haven't had to do a bunch of missions on Extreme,
no, I haven't.
Towards the end. That's like the last half of the game.
I'm on like mission 30. I'm on mission 31.
Okay.
But the tagline just says, like, get vengeance on Skullface. I was like, oh, it's the end of the game. I better do all the side ops now.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, you should just get vengeance on Skullface. I'm just saying. Just go ahead and get vengeance.
And I was like,
that fucker's waiting.
I was like, oh, that must be the end of the game. I'll just kind of keep doing everything else.
Surely it's the end of the
game. I'll tell you right now, that should have been the end of the game.
Oh.
No. And then something amazing. Look, there's a fucking highlight in Phantom Pain. Like, the star of the show, like the epic set, or not epic, but the set piece that I'm like, man, if this was if this was in a game that didn't steer in the direction after this, like, oh man, this is, I've never seen anything like this, never played anything like this. It's fucking impactful. It's great. Great. Especially in the context of all the things you've done leading up to that mission. That should have taken place before the skull face thing, but you know, of course, Gabe's not going to agree. But anyways, carry on.
That's pretty much it. As far as video games, I'm looking forward to finishing up what I have right now because I have a lot more to tackle afterwards. Mm-hmm. I still have The Witcher, almost all of The Witcher 3 to go through.
I almost want to like take on The Witcher and just have it be the game that I take 3 years to beat. But I don't do that.
The Ryan Della Rosa experience?
Yeah. It'll turn into what Dragon Age Inquisition turned into for me. And the game that I install, play for a couple hours, and then uninstall a couple months later.
Funny thing, I just
need to make room for other
stuff. I never beat Dragon Age Inquisition. I felt like I had way too much left, and I had become completely uninterested in that game. I thought the gameplay was fucking shitty, and the story just could not grasp me anymore. And I was just like, well, there's no reason for me to be here.
I mean, you press a button and something awesome happens.
I mean, it was an improvement over the second game, but I just can't. I can't do it anymore. I can't.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to find some way to like grab me and hold me. Be aware. Because the way you're doing it now, it just ain't working.
They're not holding you like they did. Never mind.
They're not
holding you like they did on Naboo.
That's the one.
Yeah, I knew you were going for. I got you.
Okay, I'll accept that. I was going to say something much worse.
Yeah. I was also thinking about making a Ghost reference. Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze.
That was a great comic.
It was. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Fuck you. what do you got?
I was gonna say, I've got a Craigslist experience from this weekend.
I don't want to hear about that. So
it wasn't anything weird. Well, at least I didn't think it was gonna be.
Well, let's talk about news. We don't need to talk about Craigslist. Craigslist is scary.
I know. I almost died.
Yeah.
Were you trying to get a secondhand beer thing?
Just a freezer.
Of course.
Yeah. It was.
They put bodies in those, Ryan.
Yeah. Well, you know, you look up the address you're going to, and it was in the middle of a neighborhood. I was like, okay, that seems cool. Like it looked like a nice neighborhood, and I got there, and it was a nice neighborhood. Except the house I was going to was the only one off the street behind a bunch of trees with like a broken down car in the driveway. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, so you turn around and you say, oh, I can't get this freezer anymore. I'm sorry, I left my oven running.
No, I just made the whole transaction happen in the street.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Meet me out here.
Was the person really sketchy?
No, well, the thing was, they weren't there when I got there. Like, they were supposed to be there. I was supposed to meet at 1. I got there at 1. They were, like, texting me. Like, oh, hey, we had to run to the store and get the freezer out of storage, so we'll be right there. It's like, okay, and I had backed into their driveway, but then I sat there for a second. I was like, I don't like this. So I pulled back out onto the street.
Had to get the body out of the freezer.
And waited, and then they finally show up, and yeah, they look sketchy as fuck. But yeah, they pulled into the driveway, but like I pulled in behind them with my tailgate to the back of their car, and so like I was still basically on the street. And we just grabbed it, moved it from the back of their car into the bed of my truck. I handed them the money, and I left.
What a fun story, Mark.
God damn it.
Whenever I think of people selling and buying, like what you just did, I always think of my buddy Andrew's story of selling his Acura. And
yeah, well,
how do we disagree on Metal Gear? How?
Like the guy who bought the car, Ryan, was just like begging him to come and join him in the hot tub with his friends and have a beer.
Oh,
with
no.
He's like, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, no. Like I said, the weirdest part of it was just nice neighborhood. Okay, cool. Oh, oh no, why is this the one house?
The one shitty house is the one you're yeah. going to.
Well, and it was like, you couldn't even really see it. They had a
It's the one that doesn't get trick-or-treaters.
Fence across the front. Like, okay, so you, all the other houses are nice, normal houses, driveway, pull up to the house, etc. This was like
James Earl Jones' house in the sandlot. Well,
like trees surrounding it from the front, gravel driveway that went back offset off the road, a wooden fence on the front of the house with like no trespassing signs all up on it. And then the house is like back behind that. You could barely see the house because of the trees and the fence. House back behind that, and it was kind of like the houses you see that are kind of on like cinder blocks. It's not really a trailer, but it doesn't have like a true foundation, you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah. So it was an awkward experience when I got there, and I was like, because I had asked her, I was like, is the chest somewhere easy to access? And she was like, yeah. And then she's like, oh, we had to go get it out of storage. I'm like, why did I just meet you at your storage place? Why did I have to come to your house? This is weird. But I left with my life and a chest freezer. So
nice.
It all
everything's
worked out.
Okay.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So news,
what's going on?
There's TGS stuff.
Ah, the game show.
Yeah. Did you think that Persona 5 was coming out this year?
No.
Because yeah, you're right. Mm. No one did.
Why did they keep insisting that it was?
Two weeks ago or something, they said.
What's
it's coming?
What did they get out of that? Like, why lie about it?
I don't know. Mm. I'm glad it's not coming out this year. Because
mm-hmm.
Jesus, give me a break.
It's not done.
That too. Give me a break.
Yeah.
But they had another trailer for it, and goddamn, that game looks so good.
It's pretty. It's nice.
The menus, the best in the business. God. I'm just going to look at menus all day.
I want a character action game that looks, or like uses the same engine as those Naruto games, the Ninja Storm games. Those games look amazing.
I want a Persona game that's not a JRPG. Huh. It's not a turn-based RPG.
Would it still be Persona?
Like, it's, you know, have all the classroom stuff, but when you go into, like, the TV or whatever, like, the gimmick is, I don't know, we can play, like, Bayonetta.
Okay, character action game.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you always, like, see these games that have awesome parts, but you just want to take out the other parts and plug in a different genre, and it just...
Yeah, I guess, like, the closest thing to, like, a Persona game without all that, like, RPG stuff or the... turn-based
Diablo.
Combat would be, yeah, I don't know, maybe like a dating sim or something.
Huh.
But,
yeah.
But, like, I still want something. And, like, if they made, if, like, Platinum got in touch with Atlas and was like, yo, here's an idea. Bayonetta Persona. Like, you got it made. I can't really tell what the game's gonna play like, and, like, when the, like, the combat sections, it looks more, I don't know, action-y than before, so that's cool. But yeah.
It'll still just be menus, right?
I don't know. I mean, if it is, the menus look really good, so I might be okay with that. Mm. I'm probably going to be okay with it no matter how it turns out, because Persona 4 was really good, and I'm sure this one will be good too. But we shall see. Also, a news I only care about, there's another Gravity Rush coming out
another
on PS4.
Another one, or there's a port?
Both.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's a port. They,
that's
they
surprising.
They did a weird... Well, Gravity Rush 2 has been, like, talked about. It's like, oh, yeah, it's coming. It's coming. And then they finally revealed it now. And it's kind of obvious.
How long ago did the first one come out?
It was either a... It wasn't a launch title for the Vita. It was close to a launch. I think it was launch window, maybe. But... So that would be 3 years ago?
Hmm.
That seems short.
Hmm.
Seems really short.
Well, the Vita's not that old. It's probably about right.
Yeah, probably. But I love the first Gravity Rush. I'm glad I can play it on PS4, and I'm glad I can play another one on PS4. The new one looks so amazing.
Yeah. Because
the first one had like that really limited draw distance. It wasn't like terrible, but you know, you could tell. And then this one's just, you can see fucking everything, and it's I love it.
So I've been on complete blackout with TGS. I have no idea. I just keep hearing casual offhand remarks of, oh god, they're making another Umbrella SWAT team game, Resident Evil.
Yeah,
SWAT
Kingdom game. Hearts 2.8 or some bullshit.
Another Kingdom Heart decimal. Yeah. What else? Like, just all sorts of small things. And I guess Konami at TGS said we're done.
Yeah, done with everything but PES. Soccer. Yeah. The soccer game.
I think that's their decision based on Metal Gear 5's lackluster sales. Like, it sold well, but it's not justifying. It's not justifying what it cost.
Yeah.
How could it? But
yeah,
I think Konami's, and this is an unpopular opinion because gamers want their games, but I think Konami's just making smart business decisions. I think it's as simple as that.
It would be nice if they sold off the franchises for other people to work on because they're not going to do anything with them.
But it is in their interest to sit on it in case. You could always
sell it at lease it out or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. License it.
Yeah, that's the word.
That's hard. You have to pay people to do that.
Yeah, like the reaction to the lost mission that was included on the DVD, the Blu-ray, like behind the scenes thing of Metal Gear Solid 5, of wow, Konami didn't let them finish.
I think
Konami gave them a lot of fucking money for this game.
They did. That's on them.
Yeah.
That's on Kojima Productions.
Yeah.
Because, that game, as always, has a lot of unnecessary stuff that, isn't essential. But, and they spent a lot of money and a lot of time doing all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the game, and that's another thing I was kind of like, huh, well, that's unfortunate when I played through it, is there's not a lot that you haven't seen. If you've watched the cutscene, or if you watch the trailers, there's stuff that's not in the game even. It's just disappointing that you play any other Metal Gear and you watch the trailers that led up to it. There's so much you don't know about. There's so much in MGS3 that you never saw in the trailers. There's so much in MGS2 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
But with MGS5, no. It's like when you watch a trailer for a movie and you're like, wow, they showed way too much. I was waiting for this scene to happen. I was waiting for that scene to happen. That's exactly how I felt about MGS5. It's just, there was
a part in the game that I found very fascinating. Hmm. In regards to that,
mm-hmm.
I can't talk about it.
That's very interesting.
But
yeah,
I will. At one point in time.
Yeah. But I think that they didn't manage their money well. The Kojima Productions, they just burned through.
That's
it.
What the rumor of or not rumor, but the interview with the old music producer said, that Kojima would have her make dozens of songs and versions of songs, and then be like, I think the first one was good.
Right.
It's like, that's a lot of extra money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time. It's a lot of everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think there's anything really huge out of TGS other than that. Dark Souls is coming out in April. Dark Souls 3. That's cool. Hmm. But, no huge talking points beyond that. So, you know what time it is?
No.
Time checking with listeners. You do this every week. You should be able to know by now.
Listeners.
Yo.
Hey, listeners.
Thanks, Ryan. No one else does it like you do.
You're welcome.
Ryan's so friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he didn't grow up playing Stone Protectors.
All right, first up from Prototype.
It's okay.
How would you feel if Ed Boon was the project lead in the next Katamari game?
I don't care. What?
Was that the Mortal Kombat guy?
Yes.
Toasty!
You know who I thought Ed Boon was at the moment? I thought it was the guy in charge of Insomniac.
Ted Price. He's the guy whose head would pop out and go, Toasty!
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it'd be a lot more morbid.
Is that
I guess Katamari is kind of morbid when you take away the fluffy exterior.
Right.
Yeah.
Disgusting capitalism.
Could you imagine having a gritty, realistic looking version of that game?
I really don't want to.
Just people are like, help a lot me, of screams. Please, help
yeah,
me.
There's a lot of screams right. and a lot
it's
of
a giant murder ball.
Yeah,
it's just na 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 na.
Same music.
Yeah,
that's but that's the real game. Hatred.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now I kind of just want to see a trailer for it.
Yeah,
and then not a real game to exist, but just a fan trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that'll exist at some point. What are your thoughts on the Taken King content? I think we already went over
it. Yeah, it's good.
Good. It's good. It's not perfect, you know. It's still gonna.
It's never gonna be perfect.
As Javi said, you're gonna see the light at the end of the tunnel. But
yeah,
or not necessarily a light, but the end of the tunnel.
I mean, it's just like, here's the thing.
It's a better looking tunnel. It's a more enjoyable tunnel.
Yes. Everything about, like Gabe said, the moment to moment gameplay is rewarding. It feels good at all times. You're always being rewarded for what you're doing, and that's a huge, huge improvement. But I think that, I know they don't want to be called an MMO, but like it's impossible to
fuck off. Yeah, it's an MMO. And so don't even play.
When you have that in mind and you think about other MMOs, there's so much content that you're like, hope you can't wait to get to. It's overwhelming, the amount of content that you can't wait to get to. In Destiny, it's a weekend of content. You're like, you got it in a weekend, mm-hmm. and that's it. And that's the problem. I think that their business model requires it to be such little content, though, because you don't pay a monthly subscription, and that's how they're funding these expansions. All this shit costs so much money to maintain and to keep adding to. And if you're not charging people $15 a month, you're charging them $30 every 6 months, you know, mm-hmm. for the new expansion. So, I don't know. It's a different business model. I don't know. I think it...
It's like it has the daily stuff, but it's not, like, super fulfilling.
Yeah. And that's automated. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing new there.
Because, like, when you think about MMO, like, quest lines and stuff, it's a lot of like repetition,
sure.
But it's just like going in different places, different people telling you different things. It's just like how it's presented, and to a certain degree.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It is kind of like in MMOs, all that content I was talking about, all the things to do, are essentially just bounties, but they're bounties from different quest givers. Mm-hmm. And in Destiny, it's streamlined to where there's one quest giver, and you get all your bounties from them every week or every day. Yeah. So, but there's just not enough variety.
Yeah. Next up, will you be doing another Extra Life stream? Yes. Think we've said yes on this. I think
when we're is Extra Life again? I meant to look that up yet the other day.
Early November, late October. We got to start planning. I mean, okay, we're,
yeah, I think I looked it up, and it doesn't interfere with my trip out of town, so I should be good to go.
And it's like I know we're like having a get together for it. We're trying to get that together. Whether it can be successfully streamed, like last year worked out pretty well until we lost internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, like pretty solid until we lost internet.
A disaster.
But you know, I'd like to. You know, it was fun.
Definitely.
From Rachel,
looking it up.
Probably the most serious question we will ever receive.
Okay.
Hold on to your butts, Dylan. I'm actually going to direct this at you.
What up?
Does Kojima like the boobie?
Oh yeah.
Oh, Kojima loved the boobie.
He loved the boobies.
He's like a 14-year-old child.
Yep.
I don't know any 14-year-old childs like Kojima when I was 14. I don't know any 14-year-old childs right now.
Like, you didn't know any perverted boys when you were...
That would shake a plate of Eggs Benedict and say, it looks like boobies.
It's November 7th, by the way.
This is a fully grown man.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Gabe.
A very, like,
a married lauded... man with children.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know he was married.
Yeah, he's married.
My wife's boobies like Egg Benedict.
You haven't heard the story from Jeff Keighley's like old like article about Kojima from MGS2? Oh man. Okay, so let me tell you this quick story.
I have no idea. He has kids?
Yes. Well, let me tell you the story real quick.
The guy who designed Quiet is married?
Yes. Okay. Metal Gear Solid 1, huge smash hit, right? Everybody loved Metal Gear Solid 1 on PS1.
Mm-hmm.
And so Metal Gear Solid 2 is in the middle of development. No one's seen it yet, but everyone is on the edge of their seat. They can't wait to fucking see Metal Gear Solid 2. Kojima feels like he has the world on his shoulders. The game is not running well. Like, internally, he's like terrified of people laughing him off the stage when he presents this game. So he goes to E3 that year, and E3 is nothing like it is nowadays. It's very small. It's just local game journalists watching, but he's very scared. He knows all the bugs and all the things that don't look right, that aren't finished in his trailer. So he goes up on stage, and I mean, he's just a nervous wreck. They put on the trailer on stage, and all of a sudden, standing ovation. People are losing their minds. They fucking love this trailer, and he can't believe it. He is so excited about the reaction to Metal Gear Solid 2's trailer. So, with all that hype, he feels a new confidence about the game. He goes back to Japan and he's like, guys, we we're on to something. We got to push forward. And then he goes home to his wife, and he can't wait to tell her about the reaction. He's like, honey, they were standing up. They were applauding. They loved it. And then her reaction was, that's nice. Well, what's for dinner? Like, she just changed the subject. She didn't give a fuck. She just, like, not one fuck given.
Can't impress me, Kojima.
And so, like, it's kind of a funny theory of, like, since that moment,
everything is trying to impress his wife.
That's why Hideo Kojima game. Like, his name is everywhere. He puts himself in his fucking game next to Kiefer Sutherland. Like, look, honey, look. Look what I made. She's like, fucking whatever. You're in video games. Whatever. So, like,
hey,
that's
did
the
they
theory.
Pay you? Cool.
Yeah. So I love that idea. Like, now he's hanging out with George Miller and hanging out with Guillermo del Toro, and
his wife's still unimpressed.
She's like, fuck, get your friends out of here. You know?
Guillermo, yeah. What the fuck are you doing?
I love looking at it with that, like, perspective of he's just been trying to impress his wife and he can't.
Does Guillermo del Toro? Yeah, he didn't put the toilet seat down. Yep, get the fuck out. He peed on it a little bit too. He didn't clean up after himself. What a dirty boy.
But these eggs look like boobies.
And that's why I love you, Kojima.
I mean, who doesn't? Oh, I can think of one person.
Konami?
That doesn't like the boobies.
Oh.
Konami? No.
It's a joke that no one's going to get.
I don't even get it.
I don't get it.
He's talking about Devin.
Oh!
The urban myth or legend of Devin being terrified of big boobs. Glad that's on the podcast.
Some legends are true.
Some legends should stay unspoken. Yeah. Do you think we will see all of the Konami franchises like Metal Gear, Bomberman, Silent Hill in the next PES game as prototype?
I don't think Bomberman's a Konami game, but
it is.
It is. Yeah. It's a Hudson game.
Swear
it's
to
never
God,
a Konami game.
Swear Konami's on that.
I don't. Yeah, I
Hudson
don't.
Soft with the.
Someone
B.
Look that up.
I'm going to the tape on this, but in the next Pro Evolution Soccer game, like how Dead Space and
Konami's the publisher, Hudson's still the developer.
Does Konami own Bomberman?
I don't think they own it. I don't think they're just a publisher.
Okay. Thank God.
Yeah, Bomberman's not going anywhere, guys.
Oh man.
Oh, never mind. Konami purchased Hudson in 2012.
Booyah.
Fuck.
Okay. Nice
Bomberman's dead.
Prototype schooled the fuck out of me.
Alright. Alright, this is gonna take a while.
Okay.
It might not. It probably won't, because we've been over this. Prototype. In your own words, why is D-Dog the best partner?
He's fucking adorable.
Fuck
it's
you,
your
Prototype.
Dog partner.
Don't even... you're walking on
thin ice.
He said
a few words.
Yeah.
A few words. When you sprint and he's running alongside you, he'll look up at you, and it's so fucking cute. And then he does whatever you need, bark, and he's like, rah, 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 and all the guys come, and you're like, thanks, D-Dog, and you punch the shit out of everyone. It's like having your own little dog buddy. Look, I have a soft spot for a boy and his dog stories. That's why Transformers 1 is great, even though it's not. You know, like...
That's a car, that's not a dog.
It's the same idea.
Wait, there is a dog in that movie. Is that what you're talking about? The little chihuahua with the broken leg?
It chews its little painkillers?
Yeah, is that what you're
talking about? No, I'm talking about Bumblebee.
Bumblebee!
But it's freaking Bart Simpson playing with Santa's little helper and, like, looking for him once he runs away. Ha, fuck. All that stuff. So, yeah, that's why. That's why Dee Dee's better. But, like, there are some missions that are fucking impossible without Quiet. Like, Quiet is necessary.
Quiet is far more interesting than D.D.
I mean...
I guess my answer to this question would be the letter
A. Person,
yeah, yeah.
By being a human being, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably like, more interesting.
Dogs Quiet. Can be cool.
Quiet's not, like...
Dogs can be it? Characters. I've seen Jurassic Bark. Oh. The dog's a character as fuck.
Dude, you don't think that D-Dog would do that? Would wait for Snake?
What evidence
forever?
Do I have?
The way he looks at you when you run. The way he will back you up.
Yeah, he also... While I had him out, he also got smacked the fuck up by a bear. He don't like me much.
Well, no one likes bears.
Well...
What were you doing sending D-Dog against a bear?
Yeah, you horrible man.
Yeah.
And then it sent him against him. I told him, I found the bear. He sensed the bear. And then I said, wait.
No, you saw the bear and you're like, all right, let's put Javi's theory to the test. D-Dog.
Get after him, D-Dog.
Good, good.
It's precisely how I've been had.
Yeah.
But yeah, my answer to that question is the letter N, followed by the letter A.
The minute,
non-applicable.
The second that the guards put metal helmets on is the second that Quiet becomes a useless sack of shit.
She can shoot him off.
Yeah.
In Gabe's defense. But
what are you talking about?
Look, you can put Quiet wherever you need her and say just fuck and give her a silenced trank gun and say open fire, and she can go to town on everyone in the base, and that's great. And before you know it, everyone's going to either have their helmet knocked off, or at the bottom line, everybody's going to be looking her direction, and you can sneak in wherever you need to go. That's great. Like, Quiet's good. Very good. D-Dog warms my fucking heart, and D-Dog is next to me the whole time I'm doing the mission. He's not off somewhere humming endlessly. It's just preference. And Quiet, yes, application-wise, Quiet gets way more done and can do a lot of the mission for you. D-Dog is adorable, and I love D-Dog.
If we want to talk about the actual most useful team member,
Horse.
It's D-Walker. It's like you don't even want to go fast.
I've never...
D-Walker's so expensive.
D-Walker goes so fast. That's...
I've never...
There was something I found out about Metal Gear that I didn't even try, and it's... has to do with the box, and you can surf down hills in the box.
What? Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
I've launched out of the box.
Like, yeah, that's not it.
That's fun.
That's not it.
The box is ridiculous.
D-Walker is for those who want to complete a mission in less than 5 minutes. Because yeah, you Ryan can just skate there. And then...
Oh, yeah, I need that then.
All right. Next up, Alex, Fistful of Crafts, asks, did you get a chance to play the Shovel Knight Plague Knight DLC? And no, I need to.
Nah, dog.
I've been looking forward to that a lot.
No, I haven't played any of the
it's
DLC.
It's free, too. That's nuts.
Is it new game? Like, more game?
It's the same levels, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
They might have changed, like, enemies.
I was going to suggest we do part two, making friends play.
Revisit.
Where you have to get the amiibo to play it?
Amiibo!
Justin Doss asks, how do you feel about the new Resident Evil game? Then he says, looks dumb.
That's the general consensus.
Wait, there's a new Resident Evil game?
Yeah, it looks dumb.
It's you remember the Umbrella Squad game?
Yeah, the one that you were like SOCOM? You were hyping up and then like you
No, I wasn't hyping it up. I think at the most I was saying I could play a SOCOM style game that's in the Resident Evil universe. But I never got it.
Oh, I thought you bought it.
No, I've never played it. I hear it's pretty mediocre, which doesn't surprise me because that team was bad. they were in Seattle and they went out of business after that game. So who's making this? Who's making the new one?
I have no idea.
Is it Capcom? Because then I might have more faith in it, honestly.
After the bombshell that was Resident Evil 6.
maybe AKI should develop it.
What was it? The latest one, Revelations 2, was fun. It was very not polished. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it wasn't impressive in any way. But, right. Yeah.
And then last up, do you think this is Chip Kelly's last season with the Eagles? S prototype.
I thought he was saying Jeff Keighley.
I don't know about his last, but he's on a real short leash.
But read his article about Kojima.
he is on a very short leash, for sure.
Just a follow-up, there is a new Resident Evil movie coming.
Oh, thank God.
Something
called The Final Chapter, which... Is it?
It's the final countdown!
Well, that's all the questions we got. So, Ryan...
Oh, how fitting that we're at the final countdown.
I know, it's
Ryan,
like
do you have that song in MGS5? Do you have it play on your helicopter?
I don't have it.
The best song to play is Kids in America.
Oh, yeah.
Kids in America makes for a good helicopter entrance.
I still like Maneater.
Yeah, Maneater's great. Take On Me by Aha. Very good.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Ryan, in case you don't know, it will greatly enhance your game experience if you choose one of those silly pop songs to
play. Also greatly enhance the chance that your chopper gets shot down.
What? Really? Yeah. I mean, it's loud enough. It's a helicopter.
It'll attract every asshole around.
The speaker attract people more.
I've never had that issue. Like, I've never been shot at or anything.
Sometimes I would call the helicopter and just kind of chill there for a bit, and, like, I'd do some other stuff. The one time I forgot to take the music off, that thing went down real quick.
Interesting. I guess I've just never called the helicopter down where there were enemies. Mm. I always have to run to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Ryan, sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, tell you where to should find be.
I'm sorry.
What is this Game Over Nation I hear?
Yeah. You can find us at our website, gameovernation.com. We should have some new comics soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So keep an eye out for those. You can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/GameZeroVernation. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/GameOverNation. Give us a like there. Leave us some topics. Leave us some questions. Keep an eye out for Gabe posting about leaving some questions on Monday nights when we record. And you can also do that on our Twitter, at GameOverNation. So go check those things out. And also go check out the beer label that Erica made for me. That's pretty pretty tight. You can at Airstrike Rhino. Go check out my Twitter feed. I retweeted that. She did a very good job. I was very impressed with her work.
Still waiting on her to make my Madoka Pro Skater.
It wasn't the Beer Man Brewery. It is a specific label for a specific beer. It's not necessarily branded, but she did a very good job.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Good job, Erica.
So, with that's Javi. Do the thing.
Alright, guys, thank you for listening yet another week. We will be back next time. Stay tuned for Making Friends Play and other videos on our YouTube channel as well. Check out GameOverNation.com. And we'll see you guys next time.
Woo!
Bye.
Bye.